In the name of Jesus, Brother Dwayne has asked that we turn to Psalm 119, verses 25 to 35. I'm thankful I can be here with all of you to worship our risen Lord together. I'm thankful for the rain we got through this last week. I think we got over 2 inches, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm sure you are too. Psalm 119, verses 25 to 35. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. At this time, let's kneel for prayer.
Thank Brother Ray for his prayer on my behalf, as well as each of you who have prayed for the speaker this morning. I'm thankful for that hymn, Help Me Leave Tomorrow in Your Hand. That has had tremendous meaning in my life, and I encourage each of you to allow that to speak to your heart. In the fall of 1982, late one night, Stephen Callahan was on the Atlantic Ocean in his 21-foot sailboat that he had built when something, and he thinks possibly a whale or a large shark, smashed into the boat with a deafening bang, creating a hole in the hull. Callahan's boat was sinking fast, and he was able to make it into his six-person life raft. And he managed to salvage from his sailboat a spear gun, a few emergency supplies, some rations, a navigation chart, and a survival manual. This was the beginning of a 76-day ordeal of drifting in the Atlantic Ocean in a small inflatable life raft. And Callahan stayed alive by rationing his emergency supplies and using his spear gun to hunt fish, using plastic bags to catch rainwater, and by using a solar still, which is a device that uses the sun's energy to distill seawater into drinkable water. Callahan kept a log, and around day 14, he saw a ship, lit a flare, and thought he'd been seen, but the ship went right on by. And he said later in all that he had saw a handful of ships during the 76 days, but none of them saw him. There were times of dodging sharks and times of patching tears in the raft. When his raft drifted into tropical waters, it became hotter and the dehydration nearly unbearable. Callahan said that one of the worst parts of being adrift for so long was the physical discomfort, the salt water sores on his skin, the hunger, and the constant thirst. And finally, after 76 days, and Callahan thinking that he was never near the end, some fishermen off Guadalupe spotted him after they'd seen birds hovering over his raft. And by the time Callahan was rescued, he had lost a third of his body weight. and it was 6 weeks before he could walk properly again. Through all of his ordeal, Callahan's focus had been to cling to the survival of his physical life. And according to Merriam-Webster, cling, or the word cling, means to hold on, or to hold on tightly or tenaciously. It has the idea of relying heavily on someone or something, and it's refusing to let go. You know, it's normal to hold on to physical life, wanting to live and clinging to that physical life because God has made us to want to live. But think about clinging to something that's even more valuable than physical life. Think about clinging to something that will make a real difference in our lives. Think about clinging to something that's life-giving, life-changing. And think about clinging to something that our lives center around. Psalm 119, verse 31, that's one of the verses that was read, says, I have stuck onto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. And part of the meaning of the word stuck there is the word cling. The psalmist is saying, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. He was clinging to God's words. In Psalm 119, there are various words that are used to mean or refer to mean the scriptures, to mean God's word. Words like precepts, law, statutes, commandments, ordinances, and so on. And testimonies is another one of them that's used. So the psalmist was saying, I'm clinging to your word. And as believers, we also need to be clinging people. Clinging to God's words that are in this book. Clinging because they are life-giving. They are life-changing, and they will make a good difference in our lives. And I say good because some things make a bad. But God's word will make a good difference. We need to be clinging to it because it is what our lives are to center around. We need to be clinging to the scriptures because they are even more valuable than physical life. This sermon this morning is meant to be a follow-up of the sermon I preached 2 weeks ago in the evening that was called God's Word According to Psalm 119. And in that sermon that night, our focus was on our approach to God's Word and the importance of how we come to Scripture. It was based on Psalm 119, and you know that as the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And I believe all the verses reference God's Word, with the exception, I think, of about five that do not. But they all, in one way or another, reference God's Word, except for five of those verses. And it's Psalm 119 is really a commentary in and of itself on God's Word. And it's saturated with the overarching thought that the Scripture can, does, and will make a difference in our lives. So in this sermon this morning, we also want to use Psalm 119 as the main source, with our emphasis on the idea and the title of the message of clinging to God's Word. From Psalm 119, we want to see why we should cling and how we should cling to the Scriptures. So first of all, in order to cling to God's Word, we need to recognize its value. Recognize its value. When we cling to someone or something, it's because that person or that thing has value to us, or some kind of value. I'm clinging to my wife because she has value to me. By the way, that's scriptural. We're to cleave, which means cling, to our spouse. But you know, I also cling to our money that we have. And there's a part of that that's okay. Good stewardship is good. But you know, sometimes it becomes too much clinging and it has too much value. But the point is this, that if we are going to cling to the Scriptures, they have to have value to us. They have to have value. And Psalm 119 leaves no doubt as to how valuable they should be to us. And if you want to have your Bibles open, we're going to look at a lot of verses in Psalm 119. That's up to you. Some of them may come kind of in order. Some of them I scatter. So I apologize. But it's up to you how you want to follow or if you just want to listen. But Psalm 119, verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And the ESV says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Verse 72 of 119, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 162 of 119, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Or the meaning of spoil is booty or a treasure. I rejoice as one that found great treasure. One of the most famous baseball card treasures that were found in an attic is known as the Black Swamp find. In 2012, a family was cleaning out an old home in Defiance, Ohio, when a box of about 700 baseball cards dating back to roughly 1910 were found. The grandfather and his wife were believed to have put the cards in the attic, but they died in the 1940s. And the house had been left to two of their daughters and now was in the hands of the nieces and nephews. But because the cards were basically untouched for over a century and sat in a dark area, they were mostly in mint condition. The cards being rare, including such players as Ty Cobb and Honus Wagner and Cy Young. And because of their pristine condition, were expected to bring between $2 and $3 million when sold. That's quite a treasure. I collected baseball cards when I was young and I sold them. It wasn't for that. In 1989, a Philadelphia man bought an old painting for $4 at a flea market in Adamstown, Pennsylvania. That's between Ephrata and Reading. Mostly because he liked the frame. And upon investigating a tear in the canvas of the painting, the frame fell apart in his hands. This led to the man discovering a folded document that was being stored between the canvas and its wood backing. It turned out to be one of the original 500 official copies of the first printing of the Declaration of Independence. And at the time, only 23 of those copies were known to still exist. That $4 purchase of a picture and frame turned into a $2.42 million sale of a found treasure. I think we'd get pretty excited about finding a treasure such as these. The psalmist says that he rejoiced over God's word in the same way. Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We're talking about the value, how we value God's word. You know, most of us like sweet things. We like sugar or honey. How sweet is God's word? Verse 111 of 119, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart, or the joy of my heart. And I ask you this morning, can you put a price tag on joy? He says they are as the rejoicing of my heart, your word. Verse 37 of 119, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Meaning that there is value to God's word, but with many things that I look at and you possibly look at, there's no value. Verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. If you love something exceedingly, it's placing a high value on it. Verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. Gold's pretty valuable, isn't it? It's caused people to do some extreme things to attain it. The psalmist says, I love thy commandments above gold. Verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. God's word is more valuable and to be loved more than selfish gain. The idea of covetousness is selfish gain. If we are going to cling to the scriptures, we have to recognize how valuable they are. It has become personal. Valuable to me. Secondly, if we're going to cling to God's word, we need to recognize what it does for us. Recognize what it does for us. Verse 18 of Psalm 119 says this, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or out of your word. Well, first of all, the scriptures give us life. They give us life. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth, and there's that word cleaveth, which means, really does mean clings, clings unto the dust, or I am as dead. Quicken thou me according to thy word, or give me life, make me alive, revive me, restore me, and nourish me, and preserve me. The scriptures give us life. Verse 37, again, I referenced this verse a little bit ago, but it says, this part about quickening. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Again, give me life. Revive me. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me or given life. The scriptures bring us spiritual life. And they also benefit our physical lives. They give us life. Secondly, the scriptures give or they bring us strength. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. The word strengthen there means to rise or lift up, endure, establish, and strengthen. Heaviness there means depression, a grief, sorrow. Heaviness upon us. The scriptures, in other words, this verse is, the psalmist is saying, strengthen me through your word, lift me up, enable me to rise up, to endure, and establish me in my faith in times of depression and sorrow and heaviness, times that weigh us down. Verse 38 says, establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Establish. There is the same Hebrew word that's translated strengthen in verse 28 that we just referenced. Establish or confirm. In other words, God will confirm or prove his word to us, strengthening our faith, our lives in times of heaviness. He'll prove that it's true and that you can rely on it and that it's real and it'll make a difference. In those times when you think you don't know what tomorrow holds. Well, thirdly, the scriptures not only strengthen us, but they also bring comfort in affliction. There is value in affliction. And God allows it and brings it into our lives for that very reason, because there's value. Verse 75 of Psalm 119, I know, Lord, that thy judgments, your word is right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In other words, you've afflicted me or left this affliction to come upon me for a good reason, because you're faithful. Yet in the affliction that he allows or brings into our lives, he also provides comfort through his word. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, or again made me alive, restored me. The songwriter recognized this truth of strength and comfort from God's word when they wrote this. We've walked through some valleys, been through the fire like we've all been. If you're old enough, you've been through some fire. If you're not, if you haven't, get ready, it's going to come. But we've walked through some valleys, through the fire like we've all been. There have been struggles so overwhelming, and I've fought battles, didn't feel like I could win. But I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus. And I've got his word, and I'm going to cling to it. And in the middle of the trial, you know what? I'm even going to sing through it. He said he'd never forsake me. And I know he'll prove it. That's his promise. And I'm going to cling to it. Can't count the times I've been tempted to worry. Those sleepless nights when doubt called or doubt came pressing in. But I've learned when it all seems hopeless, it's in these moments that I remind myself again, I've got his word. And I'm going to cling to it. In the middle of the trial, I'm going to sing through it. He said he'd never forsake me. And I know he'll prove it. That's his promise. And I'm going to cling to it. Cling to his word. Verse 114 of Psalm 119. Thou art my hiding place. I've got Jesus. And my shield. You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I've got Jesus. I can cling to him. I can cling to his word. Fourthly, the scriptures bring us wisdom and understanding. Verses 98 to 100 of Psalm 119. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies, your word, are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, and that means aged or old people. Might as well throw myself in with the group. Because I keep thy precepts. I understand more than the ancients or the aged because I keep thy precepts. You don't have to be old. Young people, you don't have to be old to have wisdom and understanding. Age is not the determining factor. Growing older doesn't necessarily make you wiser. There can be some very foolish old people. How we respond to God's word makes the difference. You can be young and still be wise. Someone said this, age doesn't mean they know better. Age doesn't mean they will do better. Age doesn't automatically bring wisdom. So true. The scriptures teach us the right way. They help us to make right choices and teach us to fear God, all which gives wisdom. Scriptures give us understanding and wisdom. Fifthly, concerning what God's word does for us, according to Psalm 119, it gives us direction. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Make me to go in the way or in the path of your word, for therein do I delight. Verse 24, thy testimonies or thy word also are my delight and my counselors. And the word counselors there means advice, plan, counsel, purpose. In other words, God's word gives us direction in life by giving us a purpose for life. You don't know what the purpose is for life? Look here. It's in this book. It's a plan. God gives us a plan. He gives us advice based on truth. God's leading always concurs with His word. When we are purposing to live according to God's word, God gives us direction. You know, sometimes I really do believe that we make knowing God's will for our lives too complicated. Too complicated sometimes. We have His word to guide us. When we are within the parameters of God's word, then we can make choices that are within His will. It's not a big mystery all the time. We have His guidelines. 105 of verse 9, or chapter 9, 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God wants this book to guide and direct us. He says, here it is. Follow it. I'll guide you. Here's my will. He's established the boundaries for our lives in which we can make decisions. His word, the scriptures, light the way. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We all need that understanding. The scriptures give us direction. Sixthly, the scriptures guard and protect us from sin. They sanctify us, as Brother Paul brought out. The truth sanctifies us. They guard and protect us from sin. Verse 9 of Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man, and it specifies young because it certainly is applies to youth and the young, and that and not just men, but boys, girls, women, all people. And it also applies to older people. Wherewith shall we cleanse our way? And the word cleanse means to keep his way pure, the idea of being innocent, to be clean. How do we keep it that way? Or how does it get cleansed? By taking heed, or guarding means to hedge about us with thorns, our life with God's word. But not only that, but to take heed to it and observe it. In other words, follow it and obey it. According to thy word, it guards and protects us from sin. Verses 29 to 30, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have laid before me. The scripture protects us from sin and false ways when we choose God's word, his way. To follow his guidelines. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word. Lord, order my steps that they follow your word, that they are within that. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Staying in God's way or in his word protects us from sin ruling our lives, governing over our lives, having power over us, dominating our lives. As believers, our lives are to be governed by who? The Lord Jesus. They're to be ruled by him. And he does so by his word and by us choosing to obey and follow it. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. And heart there, brothers and sisters, speaks of the whole person. It speaks of our whole person, meaning that his word doesn't just affect this area of my life or this day of my life, but it affects all me, all the time, my whole person, the person I am. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you, because his word protects us and guards us from sin. You know, the scriptures lead us to a hatred for sin as well. Verse 104, through thy precepts, thy word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Loving God's word results in the opposite for sin, hating it. God's word guards and protects our lives from sin. And then seventhly, and simply in a nutshell, God's word brings blessing to our lives. Verses 1 through 3, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, that they walk in his ways. Those who walk in God's word, that love his word, that cling to it, he says, you will be blessed. Verses 54 to 56, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. The ESV says, this blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. There is blessing that will come in our lives and upon our lives when we cling to the scriptures. We cling to God's word. In order to cling to God's word, we need to recognize its value. We need to recognize what it does for us. It gives life. It brings us strength. It brings comfort in affliction. It gives us direction. It guards It brings us wisdom and understanding. It guards and protects us from sin. Brings blessing to our lives. And then thirdly, to cling to God's word, we need to be committed to it. Everything else I said this morning isn't going to matter unless we commit ourselves to God's word. That's the following. That's our part. We have to do it. Everything else I said is nice. And I suppose if we truly see its value, but if we can see the value of God's word and still not commit to it. That all sounds nice, but I have to be committed to it if I'm going to really cling to God's word. It means we follow through. We follow through and we do what we need to do, our part. Verse 4 says, thou hast commanded us to keep. There's that word, keep again, guard, but also means to take heed, to attend to observe, obey. Thou hast commanded us to keep the precepts diligently or properly or wholly and speedily. You're not looking at somebody that always does that. That speedily part don't always work too good for me. And the holy part. I'm just being honest with you. As they say, I'm preaching to the choir. Verse 8, I will keep, again, thy statutes. It's a commitment. I'll be committed to it. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. It's a commitment, purposing to obey always, to never end, until my last breath. Verse 112, I have inclined mine heart. And again, we talked more of that in the previous message, how the heart has to be involved, our whole person. And I believe it's mentioned 15 times in Psalm 119, the word heart. So important. I've inclined mine heart, my whole person, to perform thy statutes, always, even on to the end. Again, it's choosing to persevere till this life is over. Verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. He's saying, even in unpleasant circumstances, I determined to stay with God's word. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. That was something the psalmist was feeling that. He was feeling that of being despised. But he said, I do not forget thy precepts. Verse 157, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Again, staying with God's word, even in all kinds of adversity. And throughout the chapter, his commitment to God's word and obedience to it is one of those ways that we commit to it. Verse 168, I have kept, again, observed, guarded, taken heed thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart, with my whole person. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said, verse 57, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Verse 57, that's my claim this morning, right? I think that's your claim. I claim that Jesus is in my life. He's my portion. But that includes my promise to keep his word. When I claim Jesus, it includes my promise to keep his word, to obey it, to trust it, to rely on it, to believe it, and be committed to it in all kinds of circumstances to the end of my life. The two go together. I can't just claim Jesus and ignore this. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it. How long? On to the end. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Notice the commitment, the purpose. Verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. It's a longing. Or my soul, my person is consumed with longing or desiring your word at all times. Wow. I've got a long way to go. This keeping, though, of God's word, remembering it, longing for it, desiring it, at all times, not only means obedience. Yes, it means obedience. So much emphasis is placed on obedience in this chapter. It means obedience. But it also is centering our lives around the whole Word of God. Looking to it for our direction, basing our decisions on it, believing it, trusting it as truth, and resting in it. I'll tell you, those times when you wake up in the middle of the night and those worries are pressing on you and you don't know about tomorrow, you need something to rest in. God's word is the solution. Verse 140 says, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. You know what the word pure there means? It means refined, like in a foundry. In other words, Lord, your word is well tried. It's proven over the years. You've proven it to be true and your servant loves it. That's being committed to it. That's clinging to it. You know, it's one thing to believe in God's word, but it's another thing to believe it. Now think about that. It's one thing to believe in God's word, but it's another thing to really believe it. There's a difference. Verse 31 again, I have stuck onto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. Again, I have clung or I cling
to your word, Lord. Let me not be put to shame or implied there as disappointed or confounded. Prove it again, Lord, on my behalf, because I'm clinging to it. I'm clinging to it, Lord. Back it up. Fulfill it on my behalf. And you know what? He will. He does, and he will, because his word is true, and he is ever, ever faithful. Never has he failed. Jesus is a must to be our only Savior. He also is a must to be our only Lord. And Jesus being our Lord includes his word, directing our lives, working in our lives for our good and for his glory, and us choosing to cling to him and cling to this book, his word. I think the words to hymn 111 are very appropriate to conclude. Cling to the Bible, though all else be taken. Lose not its promises, precious and sure. Souls that are sleeping, it echoes awaken. It brings life. Drink from the fountain so peaceful, so pure. Cling to the Bible, this jewel, this treasure. Is it valuable? Bring us to honor. Brings us to honor and saves fallen man. Pearl whose great value no mortal can measure. Can't measure its value. Seek and secure it, O soul, while you can. Lamp for the feet. It's a guide. It's a direction. Helps our direction. Lamp for the feet and in byways have wandered. Guide for the youth that would otherwise fall. Older as well. Hope for the sinner whose best days are squandered. Staff for the aged. We can lean on it at 62, at 70, 75, whatever your aged. Age is. It's a staff for the aged and best book of all. Cling to the Bible. Cling to the Bible. Cling to the Bible, our lamp and our God. God help me to cling.
As Brother Dwayne was preaching, I was sitting there thanking God for all the affliction that God brought Brother Dwayne through physically so that he could stand here this morning and preach with fervency and with conviction. That's what I like to sit under when it's pretty obvious that what the man is saying, he believes. Teaching takes energy and leaves one tired. Preaching takes even more energy and leaves one more tired. Thank you, brother. And so to cling to God's word, what must I let go of? How much can you cling to at the same time? Jesus taught two very short parables in Matthew 13. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure that is hid in a field. The which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. He wants to cling to that one thing. But to do so, he has to sell everything else. And then the merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, he finds one pearl of great price. And to have it, he sells everything else. Thank you for the challenge, brother. Let's stand for prayer.